Morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible. The Bible's on the way, and we're excited that we do have another day of grace. And for those that are here live with us, we see your smiling faces, and also the ones that are watching. We can't see you, but you can see us through the internet, our World Wide Web, and through our Dispensational Bible Church app. We welcome you here. If you have your red books, we're going to be singing Oh How I Love Jesus, page 483. 483. That he came to this earth and died and was buried and rose again for his sins. Amen?
Amen.
One other quick announcement. You know, we meet around 9:30 for fellowship and all, and we get together around the meeting at 10. Brother Morris Chestnut had asked me to announce that, keep his conference in mind. He's, I think it's September 9th, 10th, and 11th of this coming year. It's the oldest Grace School of the Bible conference there is. And he just want to ask me to mention about, keep that in thought and prayer for that conference. Good morning once again.
Morning.
We're in lesson 50, and we're studying the Word of God rightly divided. And we've been studying through dispensational truths, fundamentals of dispensationalism. So we do think that we have in our possession the King James Bible for us in the English-speaking people. We also use the curriculum of Grace School Bible. So last lesson, 49, and this is lesson 50, we left off talking about three ways of studying the Bible. And you remember what they were? Of course you do. You take it literally, you compare verse with verse, and you rightly divide it. Okay, that's what you do with the Word of God. Then also there's three classes of people in the Bible. You remember who they are? What's the first class of people in the Bible?
Time has passed.
Classes of people.
Classes.
Gentiles.
Jew? Jew, Gentile, and who else?
Egypt.
Body of Christ.
Body of Christ, very good. Body of Christ. So that's three groups of type of people in there. Now, we started last lesson about five rules we need to follow in the Bible, and we got through the first one, and the first one was one part of the past is not to be read into the other part of the past. So you got to watch how you use the Word of God about reading into some things. And we started in the second rule, and it's the past is not to be read into the present. You know, a lot of people do all the time. That's why it's, when you understand the Word of God, right, divide it, and you break it up between time past, but now age has come. You can't read this over here into the present. You got to be very, very careful with that. Now, all scriptures are given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine, for reproof, for correction, that the man of God may be perfectly furnished unto all good works. But it also said what was written aforetime, Paul says, was written for our learning. We need to learn from the Old Testament. We need to learn what happened in time past. And that's what happens to a lot of people in history, that they don't remember what happened in time past, and then guess what? It will repeat itself. I was told, and you guys can correct me, that every 10 years, the history books, history books that your school system uses are rewritten. Well, if you write it every 10 years, chances are you're going to forget something. Chances are you're not going to pass something in there. But we have the Word of God, right? We have the infallible, inerrant Word of God, and it's without error. So you have to believe that with all your faith in the Word of God, that you have a Word that you it is preserved and you can use. Now, you have to allow, what you have to do is, you remember the word progressive revelation? Now, we know that when God saved the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, did he dump everything that Paul was ever going to know for the next 20, 30 years onto him right then and there?
No.
Does he not say that he will come to revelations, visions and revelations? So it wasn't completed there. So as he grew and the Word of God became effective, working in him and the Lord gave him more stuff, became more progressive revelation. Now, we looked last week about allowing to work in time past. You had the program of the law. Keep the commandments for righteousness. That's what Deuteronomy says. But, you know, do you keep the law for righteousness in the dispensation of grace? Do you keep the law for righteousness in the but now? No, you don't. Did God change? We got to keep that in the forefront of our mind, because people out there right now are really searching for truth, and they're grasping on things, and they want to take what they're doing and apply it to what God's doing that he's not doing. I should say that he's not doing. They say, well, you just, Dad, you're too old. You know, you need to be putting a glass break in case of emergency, because this is how it's working today, and this is what we want today. That type of thing. Well, it don't work. The thing is, God's truth is truth, and we need to stick with it through all ages.
Amen.
So we left off with that. So the Galatian had a problem. Remember what it was?
Circumcision.
We looked at that last lesson, that there was, if you take Acts chapter 15, and you take Galatians chapter 2, you'll find out what the problem was with the Galatians. Galatians, Paul went in and gave them a clear, unadulterated gospel, said you're saved by grace through faith plus nothing else. And what did these Judaizers do? What did these law keepers try to do? Oh, it's okay to believe in Jesus Christ, but you have to be circumcised in the manner of Moses to be what? Saved. Now, did God through Paul preach that?
No.
He did not preach that. So you got to keep that in mind today. There's people out there will be preaching that to you. So when those people said you had to be circumcised in the manner of Moses, was that a law program? Was that a time past program?
Yep.
Did God make a distinction between circumcision and uncircumcision? Mm-hmm. So even a Gentile in time past, if he wanted to be part of God's program, guess what he had to do? He had to be circumcised. So that was a big to-do. And did the, what God gave Moses, did they take that to be lightly, or did they take that to be a fact? You know, Friday night, we went down into where we live in Cambridge, and they have a Living Word drama. I don't know if any of y'all ever been down there, but we should plan going. I'd go again. We went Friday night, and it gave from the birth of Jesus Christ to the crucifixion, the resurrection. And it's one of the biggest outdoor dramas in Ohio, probably one
second
of the
largest in the United States.
So it's huge, and it's all volunteers. Well, naturally, you're a Bible student, you're gonna pick it through some things. But the thing was, it was taken through the law, and those Pharisees of that temple that was out there on that stage was talking about Moses' law. He's not doing this, he's not doing that. And they was using the law of Moses against the one who gave the law of Moses, against God. So the Galatians problem was the law program into the grace program. You find that today. Mm-hmm. And 99%, well, 95% of people out there that brings confusions in the churches today is making that mistake. 90% of your churches out there today will take Acts chapter 2 and try to apply it to mid-Acts as doctrine and say you have to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. You probably heard that since you was that big. But do you have to repent and be water baptized today for salvation?
No.
So you got to really think about that. So the illustration about one of the things in Galatians, be turning to Romans chapter 14 and Galatians chapter 4, is about the Sabbath day. Now, what do you think about the Sabbath day? Do you keep the Sabbath day today?
No.
By the way, when is the Sabbath day?
Friday at 6 till Saturday at 6.
Okay. Is it Sunday? Are you on the Sabbath day? See, churches will move the original Sabbath day to Sunday, won't they? But
yes.
They call it the Lord's Day. So that type of thing. But the Sabbath day observance, what they try to do is bring that law into grace. And Paul, the apostle of grace, says, let no man judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of holy days, new moons, or what? Sabbath day. You know, Paul quotes a lot of the Ten Commandments. You know that? But do you ever hear him say, keep the Sabbath day?
No.
You don't. In Romans chapter 14, verse 5, Romans chapter 14, verse 5. One man esteem one day above another, another esteem every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his what?
All
mind. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 11, keep your finger there in Romans 14. Galatians chapter 4, verse 11, ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. There's people out there observing these things in Galatia. Why? Because they're going back under law program. Now, I told you to stay in Romans chapter 14. Also get Luke chapter 14. Let's compare some verses here. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 14. Romans 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. You see that, don't you? What is Romans chapter? I told you to go to Romans 14, verse 17. Now, do you believe partake that the kingdom of God is literal, physical, visible, earthly kingdom in which man will eat, be able to eat bread?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes.
You do take it to be a literal, physical, you know, there are people out there yeah. that don't. And in time past, God was of view as a literal. When he gave Abraham that promise of eternal life, Abraham had in view of a literal, physical, visible kingdom over here. Not this spiritual kingdom that you see here out there right now, that God is building a spiritual kingdom, that type of thing. And in Jeremiah 23, it says that the king will reign and execute justice in the earth. You reckon that's physical, visible? His earthly ministry, Jesus Christ told the 12, the meek shall inherit the what?
Earth.
Something that's not going to be there. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. When it's all said and done, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. It's going to be real, just as real as you're sitting here today. And then he told him in regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit upon the throne of his glory, he shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's right here in his kingdom program. They're going to literally sit there and do it. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory with all his angels, the nations of the earth will be gathered, and on the right hand, those on the right hand will inherit the kingdom. Now notice absolute contrast in the kingdom in Romans in the dispensation of grace, but now. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and the joy in the Holy Ghost." Now which is it? And didn't we not read that blessed is those that eat bread in the kingdom? Luke, and how can you eat bread in the kingdom if it's not meat or drink?
Different kingdom.
You see the difference in the nature of the kingdom, though, between the earthly sense and the heavenly sense. That's where you got to make your contrast. You got to be very, very careful, because when you look at that, you might say, "Well, see, the Bible contradicts itself. You can't believe this. You can't believe that." Are there any contradictions in the Bible?
No.
They're not, are they? Does it seem like there's confusion in the Bible? Why is there confusions in the Bible? You're not studying the way we write. You're not writing the Bible. And in your human viewpoint, in your human mind, you can see, well, if I'd done it, I'd wrote it differently. That's why you ain't got. That's why you don't write the Bible. You know, many of us is writing path. Many of us has been in positions where you had to write programs, stuff like that. That's different, because you're going to write that program to what you need to be doing with. And the other illustrations is in the gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John preached the gospel. In the show, we talk about the guy got up and talked about in an intermission about believing the gospel. Believing the gospel, you have to believe the gospel. When I hear that, automatically my mind goes,
which one?
Which gospel? And you mentioned a while ago, it's gospel throughout the Bible. What does gospel mean?
Good news.
Good news. There's good news in time past. There's good news in but now. There is good news in ages to come. As bad as it seems over there, there's going to be good news over there. And we, but now, we preach a gospel. In fact, if you want to call Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John gospel, you can Romans is the fifth gospel. If you ever thought about it, it's good news in there. Just because the message was called the good news and time passed, as it is today in the dispensation of grace, does it mean that it's equally the same message?
No.
You know that to be true. Not to be true, I should say, right?
Right.
The good news in time past is called the gospel of the
kingdom.
The good news, the kingdom is at hand. Wouldn't that not be good news after coming out of all this? Was it good news when they spent 400 years in it, as slaves in Israel, and their Redeemer showed up, Moses, and gave them the good news that stand still and see the deliverance of God.
Mm-hmm. Glorious.
Yeah, they're like, because before that, it's like, you led us out here, and our back, the chariots are back behind our back, and the Red Sea is in front of us. You came, you brought us out here to die. Moses said, hey, you want some good news? Stand still and see. And he split that sea open, and they went across there, and then they lived happy ever after in the promised land, right? They still murmured. You brought us out here to die? We don't want this bread. We want what? Steaks, quail. We want meat. God gave it to them. So the good news of the gospel of the kingdom is going to be over here. In Matthew chapter 4, Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, Mark chapter 16, all relate to the gospel of the kingdom based on the covenant that he made with David, Abraham, and Abraham. Remember the Palestine covenant. Remember what that had to do. When you think about the Palestinian covenant, what do you think of? You think of a people?
Land.
The land. Okay, when he got told Abraham, get up and walk, he walked this area. He just didn't walk this little 7-mile stretch over in Israel today. He walked a land, and that's the Palestinian covenant. Then he gave him the Abrahamic covenant about eternal life. Then what's a Davidic covenant? What do you think about David? What do you know about David?
King.
So the royalty, the kingdom covenant is going to come through him. And that's why it's the gospel of the kingdom. And the gospel of the kingdom, guess what they did in the gospel of the kingdom? They what? They sprinkled.
Sacrifice? Baptized?
They baptized. And why would they, water baptism is an issue there. So why would you think they had to do that? Water baptism prepared the nation of Israel to be a function of a kingdom of who?
Royal.
You had to be cleansed. You didn't. They had to be cleansed, and they will have to be cleansed over here to perform what? The rites as a priest. Now, you know, Wells, today there's a lot of priests out there performing things that's not the right thing to do. You have a lot of cults out there that has priests in them, and they're performing things that they're not supposed to be doing. It is the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins that is preached in the gospel of the kingdom. John the Baptist comes on the scene, and he said, oh, you brothers and sisters, just come. Meet me down to the halls of Jerusalem, and we'll get together. No, where was he at? Where was John the Baptist coming? God, this is what is fascinating. God did not speak from Malachi to Matthew for 400 years. Literally speak. He spoke through his word. And John the Baptist comes on the scene 400 years of silence. And he says, he's standing out in the wilderness calling Jerusalem and Judea to repent. Come out of that situation. Change your mind. Get right with God because the kingdom's coming. The kingdom is at hand. And what did he do out there? He says he baptized all of Jerusalem and Judea except who?
Pharisees.
The Pharisees and lawyers, and they rejected the counsel of God. Now, who did Jesus Christ and the God Almighty work through the nation Israel? He worked through the system that he loved so much that he gave his life for, and that's what he worked through. And those leaders had to come to understanding of what he was doing and become part of that program in order for all of the nations to do that. But did that happen?
No,
we know that not to be true. Then it represents a ceremonial cleansing from their idolatry so they could function in a kingdom. Now, in the gospel of the kingdom, there's no, what kind of atonement that's not applied in the gospel of the kingdom? Remember when we went through this?
Blood.
There's no blood atonement in that kingdom program. So if you want a part of that program that people try to put you under, there's no blood atonement in it. Repent, be water, be baptized. Where's the blood? There is no blood. Go to Matthew chapter 16.
So what's the avenue they go through?
They had to go through water baptism.
No, I mean at the end here.
The blood.
If there's no blood.
Okay, the blood's going to be applied because they understand what Jesus Christ did at Calvary now.
Oh.
That's what Hebrews is about. When we look through Hebrews, Hebrews goes back and says, this is what God did at Christ through Calvary. This is what you believe. That's why it's a Messianic covenant, not the Mosaic covenant. Mosaic covenant's done. The bulls and goats and all that stuff, it's what he already did at Calvary. So, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. By the way, look at Matthew chapter 4. Get Matthew chapter 4 real quick. This is something interesting. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 says, then was Jesus led up the spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he afterwards hungered. Ages come, they do this. They go out in the wilderness and they hunger. And it says, when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made what?
Bread.
He's hungry. Hey, you want to eat? Turn this into bread if you're the Son of God. You know he's the Son of God. Mm-hmm. You know in Revelation, he has bread over here. So all this stuff that he's tempting him with back here in time past, it's going to come for real over here. So the lust of the eyes with the bread, in Genesis chapter 3, 1 John. Then he says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What is Lord Jesus Christ using against Satan here?
His word.
He's just not speaking, well, my feelings says this. It is written. Then he says, the devil took him up on my holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against the sun. Cast yourself down, lust of the eyes. Look at you. You fall with me. You fall and worship me. Guess what I'm going to give you? What? The kingdoms. And so Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord God. In verse 8, and again, the devil take him up into the exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. This is where the pride comes in, the wise. Look, you just worship me and fall down. And what did God say? And he said unto him, all these things, Satan said, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And then Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt not worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall they serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered him. He's tempting him about those things. But what's something really interesting is he's using the word, for one. Two, the devil could have gave him the kingdoms of the world. A lot of people are like, how can he do it? Because he's known as what? The God of this world. He's also the prince and power of the air.
Yeah.
So he didn't mind giving these kingdoms to the Lord Jesus Christ because he still had this first and second heaven. He still would have been above the earth.
It's interesting, verse number 6, even Satan uses the written. It is written. He knows the word.
Yeah, he knows the word. But verse 17, where I was going to go with that. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, chapter 4, verse 17, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is what?
At hand.
Now, where else did I tell you to go? Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. So in chapter 4, it says from this point forward, he's preaching what?
Kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Repent, the kingdom of heaven. Go over here to chapter 16, from this point forth, he's going to be teaching what?
He's going to die.
The death, burial, resurrection. So all that point from chapter 4 to chapter 16, he's preaching the same thing John the Baptist preached. He's trying to get them in that kingdom. Then you have Peter, who had been preaching the gospel of the kingdom for years all over the territory and did not know that Christ is going to die. You ever thought about that? Get Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. When you compare this, now if you don't study your Bible, I don't care what dispensation you're in, you're not going to see the things that you're supposed to be seeing. And Peter was with the Lord Jesus Christ and the others, and the only thing that they were told to do is what? Preach the gospel. And chapter 9, Luke 9, chapter 2, he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Verse 6, and they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now, what gospel would they be preaching, guys?
The kingdom gospel.
And what happens in the kingdom? They're preaching to heal the sick, the heal the poor, the lame will walk, people's going to go over here in this kingdom whole. Mm-hmm. See, that's what I, if you think about, you know the passage when he talks about two is in the field, one shall be taken out of the way, the other one's left behind, mm-hmm. one this, you do realize where the ones are taken away going to, don't you? They're not going to heaven. They're going to walk right in that kingdom. He's not going to take them out and bring them back when they walk in that kingdom. Whole. So you got to keep that in mind. A lot of people talk about that rapture. Then in verse, you see that men was sent out to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And in verse 45 of the same chapter, verse 45, it says, but they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. What saying? Yeah. They're like, wait a minute now. Oh, what are you talking about? I have a feeling some of you in here would be going, but Lord, you told us you're going to have a kingdom over here. What's going on? Then again, some of us might have been saying, I'm not asking him that. I don't know what's going on. It says when Christ began to tell them about going to Calvary, they understood none of these things. Mm-hmm. Now, did they have the Word of God?
Yeah.
Did they have the living Word of God?
Mm-hmm.
Did they have the same words that God spoke in time past then as it did now? They had the Hebrew Bible. Okay, they had a living word, and they should have been searching those things to see if it was true. Like, whoa, he's coming to die. Wasn't that his reason why he was born? Wasn't that his reason he come to this earth to die?
Yeah.
And a lot of people, and I've said this once, I say 100 times, people talks about when we talk about the mystery program, they believe it's the death, burial, and resurrection. That was the mystery that Paul exposed to people. That's true. Psalms 2, Psalms 22, Isaiah 52, all of them point to the Genesis 3:15. You know, I've talked to people all the time. I said the gospel of God, the good news that God was going to send a redeemer is found in Genesis chapter 3 back in the garden, back when they fell. So it's taken all that time to come through and plan, and he came at the right time. It's the same in Luke chapter 18. Get Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Verse 34 is that they were preaching the gospel of the kingdom, but were not preaching the blood atonement. And the cross was not in view in those passages that we just read. And when it was in view, there was a future salvation in the millennium kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom, eternal life, the forgiveness of sins, is viewed as a future time to be possessed when the Messiah comes back and sets up the kingdom. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Verse 29 says, "And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake. Who shall not receive the manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, everlasting life." So you go, okay, everlasting life is in the kingdom. That's his promise that Abraham had. He knew when he took his son up on that rock and was going to offer his son Isaac to die, he knew the Lord was going to resurrect him. You know that? Okay. The details of the gospel of kingdom. We'll get through this for a second. Baptism of, number one, the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins for the nation Israel, so that they would be prepared to function as a kingdom of priests. Two, there's no blood atonement. Three, salvation is their future hope. Four, the purpose of the gospel is to establish the governmental structure of the kingdom to identify the little flock. When he sets up that kingdom over there, it's going to identify this little flock over here. And you know how hard it is to take a government structure away from people that's been in power for a long time. You don't see that happening in this age, in this world. You don't see it at all. It happened. It really happened there. It's happening now. Whether it's a government structure, it's going to happen over here. The spiritual structure of religious systems out there is just as deep as the political structure as a world government. And when you go against those people that you see up here preaching and teaching all the time, you're going against their traditions, and they will harm you, whether with words, with actions. They'll write this, they'll write that about you. They'll give you the right foot of fellowship. It's not pleasant. We have liberty to do and think what we need, but you also have the liberty to stand and withstand. And you need to stand when it comes to this gospel today in the dispensation of grace, as hard as it is with your family members, as hard as it is with your friends and neighbors, as hard as it is with people you don't even meet, that you got to give a clear gospel to get them saved. Then you get them in the book to understand where are they at, rightly divided. Now, we was talking all the way up, and this is true, and I go through this all the time. Whenever you're talking to people about the scriptures, do you find it funny, or do you just assume that they're going to tell you what the Bible says? And they don't even have a Bible, or don't even know what the Bible says. You're up against human viewpoints. You're up against the world. You're up against the system out there that's been ingrained deep into the hearts of people. So my encouragement to you is to continue to study, to continue to understand the comparisons that we're talking about. And then next week, we're going to break down the gospel of circumcision and gospel of uncircumcision in that way. Father, once again, we thank you for the time. We thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We'll see you guys next week. Same time, same station. Come see us. Amen.
Amen.